All right, welcome to episode 79 of the Game Over podcast. I'm your host, Javi Rodriguez, and with me this week is Ryan De La Rosa.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, and Dylan Rausch.
Excellent.
Righteous. All right, guys, let's talk about what happened this week. We did the VGA Awards live podcast thing. What'd you guys think about that? Chat. Yeah.
The show was most heinous.
I agree. The show was pretty fuck awful.
And the chat went mostly off without a hitch, other than my bad at the beginning where I didn't realize we were going to get a bunch of random cocks in there. And I don't mean like rude people. I mean literal cocks.
like there were birds. There were big old chickens in the...
So that's my bad for not realizing how to work the privacy settings. I did fix it while we were in the room still, so got everything under control, but I apologize for that to anyone who saw penis on
penises,
accident.
Nipples, and domestic abuse. Oh my.
Somebody being domestically abused?
Okay, well, first of all, in our news, we've got for the most part, we're just going to talk about the trailers and the news that was revealed at the VGAs.
Hell yeah. But
before that, there was a bit of news that leaked last week, and I guess GameStop accidentally put up a release date for Metal Gear Rising.
And oh, no.
They had it set for June 3rd, 2011.
Oh, God. And, oh, man.
That sounds about right. That's the same time.
That would
time.
Make sense.
Yeah, MGS4 came out in June, you know. But still, you think about it, they haven't hyped that game at all, you know, and June is not too far away.
Is this being made by Kojima or someone else?
It's the Kojima Productions team. Like, this is the first one that Kojima's just letting his team take.
Okay, they're doing it without him?
Yeah, like, okay. he chose his successor from the team to handle it. So it's kind of exciting. It's like new blood, but it's still the same team that's made the other game.
Yeah. I was kind of expecting the typical Kojima trailers leading up to it.
Right.
Everything is like convoluted as fuck in the trailers.
Yeah, that might have a big
and then the game comes out and clears it all up. Oh wait.
Yeah. Well, except in number 4.
Right. Wow. Well, that might be a reason why it's been so hush-hush. Maybe this guy is a lot more reserved with his story or whatever he's doing with it. I don't know.
No room for Kojima.
But you'd think they'd be hyping it up by now if it's gonna come out in June. But
maybe.
Who knows?
And Metal Gear needs no hype.
Right, yeah. But, all right, anyways, first bit of news that came out of the Spike Awards is that Kratos is going to be in Mortal Kombat.
Yay! I hate both Kratos and Mortal Kombat.
Well, now, but when you put two negatives together, it makes a positive, right? So you should be good. Like, this should be good.
But they work perfectly together when you think about it.
Yeah, they do. Just
it's like peanut butter and jelly. Made out of rage.
Just pure rage and anger and like killing people. So yeah,
it's almost like it's like peanut butter and Kratos.
Scorpion.
So that's interesting. I guess I don't really care, but
I haven't liked Mortal Kombat since like Mortal Kombat 2.
You know what? I thought that, and then I bought 4. Mortal Kombat. Yeah, well, and then I bought Mortal Kombat 2 on the PSN and realized it was one of the worst games I've ever played in my life. So Mortal Kombat 2.
Well, I played it when I was 7, so I was like, whoa, I just ripped that guy's spine out.
Yeah, according to Zach, the third one is actually the best because it has real combos, because the second one's fuck awful. It's literally you're just trying to either punch or trip someone to death because they can't get out of it.
If I remember, the one that introduced like the different styles was actually pretty decent, but Mortal Kombat isn't my thing, so.
I always found the animations really wonky. They look so weird and stiff.
They took the real camera shots of people and stuck it in there.
Those are definitely weird on their own right. But I'm talking about the 3D ones, PlayStation 2 ones. Like they look fucking bizarre. Yeah. The way they're like standing cycles.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it seems like they were trying to like recreate those photo shots out of animations, and so it looks weird.
I bought the platformer, the Mortal Kombat one, where you play Liu Kang and the guy with the hat. That was actually really fun.
Kung Lao, I believe.
Kung Lao. Kung Lao was the best part because you can throw his hat.
Alright, well, Dylan, I think this is only relevant to you. The Elder Scrolls 4 was revealed.
Five.
What did you think of the trailer?
You can't really gain anything from the trailer, just because it's just a big wall, sculpted wall, just and with a narration above it. But I gotta say that theme, the music that was going on, I'm liking the theme music. The rumors are going around that
they're not using
Gamebryo, which has me excited because I hate that engine. That's the one they've been using since Morrowind, I think, and for Fallout. And everyone I by now has to know how buggy that fucking engine is. You can't use ladders in, you know.
Oh right.
I'm hoping, since ZeniMax owns both Bethesda and id Software, that they'll use the id Tech 5 that Rage is using. I mean, come on, ZeniMax owns them both. Why not use the leading engine design company? I mean, John Carmack's fucking genius with engines.
Look at Dylan dropping knowledge.
It would make sense to use that engine because it looks fucking amazing and it's better than your piece of shit that you've been using for 6 years now.
See, I didn't know anything about Skinemax.
ZeniMax. Skinemax. I remember that station from the 90s. It was the porno one that you'd always go to.
Yeah, doggy.
Your parents weren't around and you're like...
get excited.
When parents aren't around, the tits come out.
Alright, well, you know, you were saying that you couldn't really get much out of the trailer. I think that's kind of the theme for every trailer that was shown at the VGAs.
Though if you follow the lore, you get the country that you're using, and the country is kind of like the Viking area of the world.
Sure, I mean,
The northern segment with the snow and tundra, so you know it's going to... I'm guessing it's going to have the theme of, like, Vikings and snow.
Right. Of course, there's winks hidden throughout each trailer for whatever's going on in the game, but, you know, I don't know, I felt a little... not cheated, but, like, where's the game? Like, that's what I'm interested in. Like, all these pre-rendered things or the short little...
I think especially with what we saw this year, I mean, people know what the game is. I mean, people know what Uncharted is, people know what Mass Effect is.
Yeah, but I want to see the gameplay. I want to see what's new. I don't want to see
you've seen the gameplay.
Pre-rendered cutscene.
I think you've seen the gameplay. I mean, they're not going to tip their hand too early on the new gameplay, so I mean...
No, but like Uncharted 3's trailer, it was actually kind of cool. I mean, like the most interesting thing in that whole trailer was where it showed that tiny bit of gameplay as it revealed the release date.
Yeah.
And that was like maybe like 4 seconds of the trailer. But that was like, that's where I was like, oh man, look at that. Like, you're all busting doors open, all this water's flying in. It looks fucking cool, man. So, I don't know. That's the kind of stuff that was missing, I thought. Because so much of it was just like a voiceover.
I think every trailer that night suffered from the same thing.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
There was no gameplay really that night.
And then Resistance, you know, I went back and looked at the trailer, and yeah, there was gameplay, and it does look really nice. Yeah. But all that live action stuff doesn't do anything for me at all.
Right.
It doesn't get me excited for the game at all.
Well, on something that's so story driven like Mass Effect, that trailer did do something for me. Like,
no, that was cool. I really liked that trailer. Actually, you know what? All it did was just be like, we're going to Earth, and that's kind of cool.
But, you kind of expected to go to Earth. I mean, they haven't gone to Earth in the two games before. You're like, yeah, I know it's coming. Because you could go to the Milky Way in the second game. You just couldn't land anywhere but the moon.
I watched that trailer again today. Something that was kind of curious to me was, you know, the guy that's doing the voiceover, you know, the sniper sitting up in that building. And he's saying, like, I don't know who they are or where they came from or what they want or whatever. And it's like, has no one been relaying all of this back to Earth? Has no one been calling them back at home and telling them what's going on?
Well,
the entire second game, the council doesn't believe you.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
Like,
yeah.
Only Shepard and his crew actually know what the hell's going on.
Yeah,
no one believes you. They just think that Saren had a huge fucking dreadnought. They don't believe that there's actually a sentient race of machines coming to kill everything.
Yeah, I do really like at the end where he's like, you know, Shepard, better hurry up, better bring help, or there's not going to be an Earth left to save. And then it shows him sitting up in the ship, like looking over Earth on fire. Like, hell God, yeah. That was so good.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. All right, so next up was the Batman trailer. Let's talk about that.
Oh, wait, real quick. I guess, did you guys hear today that I guess they've confirmed that Mass Effect 3 will be out the same day for PS3 as everything else?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I think that's, like, non-news, because how can you not assume that?
Well, because the PS3 gets shafted a lot on stuff like this.
Not anymore, not for a while, you know, like, that used to be the case.
Yeah.
I'm kind of torn now, though, because I was going to get it for PC, and...
Oh, it'll be out for that,
if
too.
I know, but I
want to. Are you going to get Mass Effect 2 for PS3?
I am, I will. Even though I already have it for PC... I've already gotten all the achievements. I figure that's a easy platinum for me.
Yeah, doggy.
unless they change the trophies.
I doubt it. They might add more for the DLC that they're sticking in there.
Though I'm not sure if I want to go through the frustration that's the insanity difficulty again.
Yeah.
That's beating your head against the wall.
they did add achievements for the DLC, so you might see more trophies. Oh, okay. For that.
Well, I've done all the DLC as well.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited, man.
I've literally done everything in that game, but
because I played through Mass Effect 2 once, so I'm so ready to hop back in and play through on my console of choice and get some trophies.
Yeah, I think you'll like Lair of the Shadow Broker.
Oh my god, it was
yeah,
so
I keep
awesome.
Hearing good things.
Yeah, yeah. I just played it a couple weeks ago. It was pretty awesome.
I remember when it came out, or maybe it was the other DLC, but Dylan was talking about it on the show. And he was talking about how like dark it is, and it was
that
really
was
fucked up.
What is it called?
That was like the lab or some shit.
I'm trying to think of what it's called. I can't think of the name.
Right. So it sounds like all the DLC is pretty good. So I'm excited.
Not all of it. I think not
the one with the hammerhead or whatever.
But that one was free for me.
Yeah,
so.
It was free for me too. But it was more of a tech demo of like, hey, we could have put this in the game, and it would have been really fun, but. Here, you
much
drive,
better
you
than the Mako.
You can drive it around for a little bit. So here you go.
All right. Well, let's talk about Batman.
Okay.
I think this was a perfect example. Batman. This is a perfect example. The entire trailer was fucking CG. The entire thing was you didn't see what the game looked like at all. All you know is that there's
Hugo Strange. No mention of the Joker at all.
Yeah, I don't know if they're pushing him as like the main villain this time, and maybe like all the grunts you're gonna be fighting are those soldiers that he's sending out after Batman. I don't know.
That'd be cool to actually have someone other than the Joker as the main villain for once.
Well, it seems like the Joker's not really. He's gonna be there, but not as the main guy. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's what I see.
Well, they say the name of the guy who's running that army, don't they?
Yeah, Hugo Strange.
Okay. So I mean,
I always want to call him Dr. Strange.
Just by that alone, you would think that, I mean, he has to be the main.
Yeah.
The main enemy in that.
Yeah. But I don't know. I haven't like gone through the trailer with a fine-tooth comb, but for the most part, that's all I got out of it. That guy's the villain. And that he knows you're Bruce Wayne. And then Batman looks really weird looking when he looks up at the camera. I still think, like, I'm still bitter about, not bitter, I still wish that they went a different style with Batman's look in Arkham Asylum.
Mm-hmm. You don't like that big, bulky Batman?
Yeah, I think he's too big, and I think they shouldn't have gone with the realistic eyes. They should have gone with just white eyes like the cartoon Batman. I think that's scarier and more distinguished and really cool looking. Just white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know. But still, I'm excited for that game. That trailer was underwhelming, if you ask me, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, going back to this thing about the live-action trailers, you know, there was a lot of talk about the VGAs in general kind of missing who their real audience is, you know, gamers in general. And I think...
Surprise!
Surprise, one. And two, you know, I think some of those trailers might... I mean, that just fits right in with it, because we want to see gameplay, but we get most of those from going to sites like IGN or Giant Bomb or whatever and seeing the gameplay.
Or Gova.com.
Because we get tons of
gameplay. That's where I get all my news.
I was actually playing Take a Shot when Black Ops is mentioned.
Oh my god. Hell yeah. That's like the best game ever. We got to do that next year.
But there was...
Oh god.
You know, those trailers kind of fit right in, because we get most, like I said, we get most of our gameplay footage by going to these other sites, and I mean, that's what actual gamers do. I mean, this was a big commercial event, and so it's just like, well, here's some stuff about this game that, I mean, they're showing it to people who, they're trying to rope in the people who don't play games, because I mean, I know people that I work with who, like, saw the, Army of Two, the last one, what's it called? Army of Two.
The 40th day.
Yeah, the 40th day. They saw that trailer and they wanted to go buy an Xbox. Even though it shows no gameplay, you know? Like, so that's got to be the whole draw of that. I mean, they know we're going to buy these games. They know that we know what these games are. They're trying to get someone else. It's not for us.
I see what you're saying, but then... The VGAs were really fucking embarrassing.
Oh, they are. Oh, yeah.
It was embarrassing to be like, oh, yeah, I play video games. And then you see that and you're like, I'm not one of those guys.
Exactly. You know, it's even more embarrassing, like, watching it with my dad. I'm like, oh, God, don't think that I'm like this. I think this is cool.
That interview, I really thought, well, I don't know. World of Warcraft is pretty funny, guys.
Assassin's Cream Brotherhood.
What got me the most was the interview with that comedian or whatever.
Yeah, what
talking
the fuck?
About trash talking on Xbox Live, and it was just really facepalm worthy.
Yeah,
dude, this is so bad.
I'm so edgy because I say all these offensive things online, and I got banned like twice. Yeah, what up?
Yeah, it was really. It was
and I was
really
just like,
poorly.
Oh, God, you're not funny at all.
All the jokes were so poorly written. And, like, I was telling you guys beforehand.
Other
like,
monologue was funnier.
Hell yeah, it was. Everything, every joke. First of all, the fucking porn names that NPH was up there spouting out, like, you know, he had to have just been hating himself as he said every single one of them. And two, it's like every joke you've heard made by a 12-year-old for years. Like, those jokes weren't even new. Like, they're old as hell. And yep. then
reach
to
around,
do it.
Reach around.
It was bad enough, like, that he got up there and did it. And then it made it even worse that it was a recurring thing throughout the show. Like, back from every commercial break, he would spout off a few more. And it was just, it made me cringe every time.
I think he should have just been quoting Starship Troopers. It would have been much funnier.
Yes. It would have been so much better. Or fuck it, Doogie Howser. We could have quoted that. That would have been fine.
Oh my god, I love that show.
He would have been better off sitting up there going, Legend, wait for it, Derry, the whole time.
I was at a comedy show once in the front row, and the guy was comparing me to Doogie Howser.
Wait, did you take your SAT scores in there, or what?
No, I just looked like Doogie Howser.
Oh. All right.
I at the time, I looked like a young Neil Patrick Harris.
All right, guys. Well, we've already talked about Uncharted. Well, no, we haven't really all weighed in on Uncharted. Let's talk about that trailer. What do you guys think?
I like Sully.
Like Sully?
Yeah.
I hope. What do you guys think of the? I'm only gonna play as Sully then.
Yeah, no, I can't. I really hope that's what they're doing. I hope they like, you know, came to the conclusion that's a good idea because they have mentioned that co-op is a big focus, but they haven't said story mode co-op.
I hope, like in Vanquish, they'll have a button dedicated to Sully smoking a cigar.
What do you think of the desert setting?
I like it. I like how the first game was really jungly, the second game was all about snow and shit, and then the third one's gonna be about the desert.
Have you listened to Joystick, like the one guy who was talking about that? About the setting? No. He's like, I liked it better the first time when it was called 50 Cent Blood on the Sand.
Damn, he's got a point.
That's actually that's hilarious.
Like Nick Cannon. Oh man,
I'm actually excited to see some of the platforming elements. I want to see some like actual like Egyptian style tombs, even though I know they're nowhere near Egypt. I don't care. I want to see some fucking tomb raiding.
I just really want to see what DJ Who Kid can bring to the table.
You know, I heard that the sand stuff is just kind of, you know, a small piece of the game that, like, this is very much going all over the world, you know, so I think it's going to be a lot more similar than to Uncharted 2. If you think about Uncharted 2, yeah, there were the snow areas, but then you were in the city, yeah. And then you were in the ruins, and then you were in the jungle for a tiny bit in Borneo, so... Hopefully it's a nice mix of stuff. Actually, my favorite part of Uncharted 2 was the ice cave. It was like Zelda. That was really cool.
I thought that was cool, finding all the Nazi stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, being my God. I had trouble finding the last heart container. So
being a huge buff on World War II history and liking how with all the Nazi occult theories, I thought that was pretty cool.
No, totally, and yeah, how yeah. I love that. That's one of my favorite things about Uncharted is it takes real history and just plays with the what if factor. You know, like what if Sir Francis Drake had found the treasure and he hid it on purpose because there was something
Zombies.
Wrong. There was something wrong with it. You know,
yeah,
like that's awesome, and like it's totally like if you suspend your disbelief, it's totally plausible. You know,
yeah. I'm curious about the title, though. It implies that he's going to betray Sully, and then I'm just going to cry.
I don't know, man. Was it Drake's
Deception?
Drake's Deception. Okay. I don't know, man. I wonder if Elena's even going to be in it. She has to be in it.
I don't care if Elena's in it.
Drake Damn. Is Elena. That's the
oh my God, Deception.
He was crazy this entire time. It's just like Fight Club. Oh my God.
Oh my God, I love Fight Club.
Oh my God, we watched Fight Club after the VGAs, didn't we?
Hell yeah, it was so much better than the VGAs. Jesus Christ.
Damn.
Alright guys, well with that note, let's go on to new releases. Alright, we got Super Mario All-Stars coming out this week. Yay! It's the 25th anniversary Mario pack.
Mine ship
been
today.
Out in a while?
No.
No, it just came out this week.
Yeah, mine should be here tomorrow, I think.
Where the fuck have I been?
I can't believe you bought that. Like, that blows my mind, because this is a Super Nintendo game. It's nothing more. It's literally a Super Nintendo game on a disc.
Hold the phone. You have a
for
Wii?
For $40.
Yeah, I've had a Wii. So I had a Wii since launch day.
I didn't even know
day.
You had a fucking Wii.
Yeah, I've had one since launch day.
Wow.
That's why we were talking about how I was going to get Donkey Kong. Remember?
Oh.
No. Like, guys, really think about this. Forget that this could be a DS game. Forget that this could be a Game Boy Advance game.
Could
you
it
know,
be like a virtual
easily.
Console game?
Well, yeah, of course. But I'm just saying, like,
probably
the thing that just hooked me on it is just the 25th anniversary stuff. Like, that's really the main reason I bought it. I mean, it's not like I go out buying Wii games all the time. So
I hear you.
I was okay with it for that.
In that sense, it's kind of cool to own, but You know, it, but in the long run, that's really just you're paying $40 for packaging.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing. Hey, I'm aware of what I'm doing.
I know what you're doing, too. I'm just stating it.
I paid extra for Mass Effect's packaging. Because, yeah, goddamn, that collector's edition cover was so much better.
That was very cool. Yeah, it was. The rainy armor.
Hell yeah.
I already know I'm getting the collector's edition of number 3.
Yeah.
Damn. What if it's like the collector's edition is a picture of the whole cast awkwardly colored and arched and crammed like, onto a cover
and hunched over, like all kind of weird. Over. It looked like fucking Scooby-Doo cover.
Yeah. But, holy shit. But it looked exact.
Scooby-Doo meets Mass Effect. That's what it was.
Old man Garrus, what are we gonna do?
Oh, Scoob.
Oh, Jesus. Garrus? If that final boss battle had just been some little dude, like, I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you meddling space.
You pull off the mask.
Meddling space.
You pull off the Reaper's mask, and it was actually one of the Turian council member.
Oh my god. That's fucking awesome.
God.
Alright, anyways,
we gotta set a trap for that Reaper.
Alright, coming out on Xbox Live Arcade and the PSN is X-Men the Arcade Game. What's pretty cool about this, they kept it so intact that even you can still play with 6 people at the same time.
Oh shit.
So that's pretty awesome. Like a 6 player beat 'em up.
It comes with a coin inserter that you have to put the money in before you play every time.
Cool. Right.
Other than that, you know,
and it's a lockbox. You then have to send it to Sony or whoever is this is coming out for. You have to take the lockbox off and ship it to them. You can't get into it.
That was hilarious, Ryan.
They can't all be funny. other monologue. Okay, so anyways, I heard that Konami, like, to get the rights to republish this, Marvel made an ultimatum that they can't touch the game, like they can't add anything to it at all, which I think is like the stupidest deal ever. Like, why wouldn't you want it to be better, you know?
Yeah.
So basically, the game.
And also, you're letting them get off easy. Like, yes, you can use it, but don't do any work.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
They should have got Stan Lee to do voiceovers. Excelsior!
Yeah, so the game's literally untouched. It is the same title. So that's kind of lame that they couldn't even, like, add new sprites, hand drawn HD stuff. That would have been cool.
So it's not even revamped in HD?
No, it's, well, think about, like, Marvel vs. Capcom. It's like that. You know, like, they're not...
It's a direct... Like,
they're not redrawn. It's just, you know, I think they have a filter on it. Like, gotcha. So they're not just pixels. I'm not even sure of that, though.
Gotcha.
Yeah. All right, finally we have Battlefield Bad Company 2 Vietnam.
Ooh.
What do you think of this, Ryan?
I want to play. It's been so long since I've gone back to Battlefield, though. I'm not sure if I'll have time, but I really want to check it out.
You're too busy playing Assassin's Creed.
I haven't even been playing that much. I haven't been playing much of anything. We'll get to that in a minute, but...
Assassin's Creed hater.
I do want to play it, so I don't know. We'll see. If I can get my group to purchase it and play online. I mean, that's really what it is. You know, it's just online stuff. If we can get that to happen, then yeah, I'll end up playing it. But it really depends on who all I can recruit to play it with me. So we'll see.
I actually have no idea what it is.
Yeah, it's just it's more multiplayer weapons and maps. I mean, it's okay. Just it's now set. It's now in a Vietnam setting. So it's got different weapons from that era. You know, new locations. And new maps are always fun to try out the new stuff on, so.
Right.
I don't remember how much it's supposed to be, but.
15, I thought.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, anyways, I guess it's time for what we've been playing and if we recommend it. I guess I'll start it off. I'm in New York and I didn't bring any consoles with me, and I really, oh dude, I'm like missing my PS3 really bad. Like, cause I went on a Metal Gear bonanza the last 3 days I was in Utah. Like, I played straight through Metal Gear Solid 4. I did, like, a whole thing, like, with what I did with The Sims. I started the game and played it until I couldn't keep my eyes open. I fell asleep. And then I wake up, and then I finish it. You know, I played it straight through. That game's long as hell, man. I watched every cutscene. Yeah, so that got me in such a Metal Gear mood. And so immediately after that, I went upstairs, got my PS2, and I hooked it up in the back of my giant TV, and I started Metal Gear Solid 3. So yes. I'm playing Metal Gear Solid 3. I'm like, this is awesome. And then I fell asleep. And I woke up, and I'm like, you know, this game's really, really long. I'm like, maybe I'll just watch all the cutscenes. Thank God I have subsistence so you can watch every cutscene in the game. And that really made me, like, pissed off that Metal Gear Solid 4 doesn't have that feature. You know, because sometimes you just want to watch the story. And you can, like, literally just from watching the cutscenes, you can enjoy it like a movie.
What I'm more surprised about is they haven't re-released Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah, with trophies and all that stuff. That
well, they've done it with every other Metal Gear. They've been re-released after, like, 2 years into... What was it, Substance or Subsistence? And
after 1 year, they do it. They did it with, yeah, Substance was the second one, and then Subsistence was the third one. But and then
VR missions for the first
VR one. Missions, right? Yeah, but anyways, so I watched all the cutscenes from the third game, and I was like, oh man, it's so good, you know. And so I was like, you know what, I'm gonna play my favorite. And so I popped in, or I went back to my PS3. And started playing Metal Gear Solid 1, and that game absolutely holds up. What a phenomenal title. Like, there's no question in my mind that that's still my favorite game of all time. I'm just like, and it, you know, it really, I always think about how no game since has ever broken the fourth wall so cleverly, or at all. Metal Gear Solid 1 does so much cool stuff. Like, they're all, put the controller against your arm. I'm going to do something to try to relieve your pain. And they're talking to Snake, right? And so you put your controller against your arm and it vibrates. And you're like, oh, wow, that's kind of neat. You know, they're all talking about how they're using the nanomachines to make his arm, to massage his arm pretty much. You know, and then, like, they have Psycho Mantis reading your memory card. I have Castlevania on my PS3's memory card thing, so he's like, oh, you like Castlevania, you know. He calls it out, and he's all telling you he's gonna display his power to Snake. He's like, put the controller on the floor as flat as you can, and I'll move it with my mind, you know. And it starts shaking across the floor.
How many people do you figure just after the second, after doing that once, the second time through, they're just like on their junk right away?
Well, I've done it countless times, and I never put it on my junk.
I think you're lying.
Shit. No. You know, but just stuff like that is brilliant. And actually, I think the most impressive thing was, I don't know, something that always still makes me smile, and I love to, like, show people it, because it is really creative. I've never seen anything like it before. It was the characters in-game talking about Meryl's codec number being on the back of the CD case. And you're like, what is that? You're all looking through your inventory. There is no CD case. You know, you're flipping out, can't figure it out. And then you just casually went out. The first time I played through the game, I was just like, I don't know what they're talking about. And I just casually look at the back of the actual video game case, and it has a picture of Snake talking to Meryl, and it says Meryl, and it has the codec frequency. You know, like, that is brilliant. That you literally have to, outside of the game, look at something, you know,
unless to realize. You lost it.
Well, actually, yeah, that does suck. But, you know, what's funny is, like, I don't know how they did it, but, like, even back in the day, if you rented it from game or from Blockbuster printed, it says codec number on the back of the Blockbuster case. It says codec number, and it has Meryl's frequency.
Wow, I'm surprised they were that aware.
Isn't that, like, weird? Yeah. Like, why would that's crazy. And that was, like, before, or that was the beginning of the internet, so it's kind of nuts. And I love that. I love that stuff. And then none of the games have done anything like that since. I still think that game stands up above all the others. But More than anything, man, I have a lust for a fucking PSP, because I want to play Peace Walker like no one's business, because I keep hearing it's the best game. The story, most importantly, the story makes sense. And that's where I'm like, oh, man, you know?
I still prefer this. Snake Eater.
No, Snake Eater is the better game. It is the better game, but I think Metal Gear Solid 1 is just really special.
I think so good. Snake Eater had style.
It did. I still, like, Ryan, you haven't played any of them. I fully, fully recommend that you pick up Snake Eater and play through that.
Full price.
Word. Full price. Yeah. Buy it now, buy it live, Ryan.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's all I played. I went on a Metal Gear binge. So, yes, and I do recommend all of them.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? Actually, you know, if this binge has taught me anything, it's that Metal Gear Solid 4 is the least accessible and actually the least good Metal Gear game. I would not recommend this game to anybody but the most hardcore of the hardcore Metal Gear fans, because it really tests your patience and your attentiveness. You know, like you won't know what the hell's going on unless you really, really pay attention and really give it the benefit of the doubt, because it's throwing information at you by the truckload, and it's right. Fucking retarded. It's really stupid stuff, you know, and so that's a bad thing. And Metal Gear Solid 4 is a mess.
I think 2 is the same way, though.
At the end, you know, up until Raiden wakes up on that table naked, like, and that's like at least in the last 3/4 of the game. It's probably further along than that. Up until then, the game's fucking brilliant. Like, it's another mission that you're on. Yeah, everything, you understand why you're there, and you know, you really feel for what's going on, you know. So up until that point, it's fucking great.
Yeah,
you know, and then it just gets batshit crazy near the end of the game for some reason. So yeah, go pick up Subsistence. Anybody out there, go play Subsistence. For the love of God.
Yay.
All right, Ryan, what are you doing?
There has been a little bit of Assassin's Creed. Not a whole lot. I played that for a little bit on Sunday. This past week, man, I haven't been on the consoles too much. I don't even really know why. I guess I had a buddy of mine was in town, so we were like grabbing dinner and stuff, so I wasn't home in the evenings a lot. I did play, and I'm hoping to have some sort of review up soon, Steambirds, which is a mobile game. It's kind of like a strategy, turn-based strategy aerial combat game. It's out for like iPhone and Android. And it's a Flash game too that you can play out of I guess it's just steambirds.com is where you can find it. But it's basically like you have, you know, different planes that have different abilities on them, and everything kind of, once you get within the range of an enemy, it'll fire automatically. You're just trying to kind of position your planes in a way to where you can fire at the enemy and obviously avoid getting shot at. And everything is kind of like you plan out your, like every plane has a certain distance it can move, and you kind of plan out your move and then hit a button and it all plays out, and the enemies do what they're going to do, your planes do what they're going to do, and you can't see what the enemy is planning. So it's just, you know, kind of working out that strategy. And it's not real long. It was only $2 for Android. I assume it's the same for iPhone. But it's not terribly long, but it is, and it's not even really all that hard to get through it, but every mission has the, you know, different, you get a rating for every mission, and to get the 4-star rating, you have to beat the level without getting hit, without taking any damage. And so it's just, that's where the real strategy starts to come in. It's just figuring out, you know, you look at what abilities your plane has, what abilities the enemy planes have, and just try to plan it out, you know, the best course of action to keep you from taking any damage. And that has actually been a lot of fun, figuring out, like, just playing through it once was fine. It was entertaining, you know, it was kind of cool, just a little time killer. But you actually have to do some thinking when you want to go for the 4-star ratings, which is what I've been doing lately. So that added a whole new layer to the experience, which was kind of cool, especially for something, you know, even if you're figuring out the 4-star ratings, I mean, you can take a couple shots at it in a few minutes. So it's real, real nice little bite-size, you know, gaming time. Outside of that, well, I went to MechCore, so had some more of that, and freaking Harris Foster, dude. Harris went and played He went and played it on Sunday, and he texted me all day after
That's so funny.
Talking about it. But I do want to talk about that real quick, just what we did on Sunday, or I guess it was Friday, which was kind of cool. They have what they call the Uncivil War, where they've kind of divided things into two different teams, and some of the people that go to Regulars Night have picked a side and they stick with it. Some people just kind of pick when they get there, except for the two leaders. There's two commanding, quote unquote, commanding officers for either side. And they are dedicated to those two sides. But what they've done is they've kind of set up a little grid of planets. And, you know, one half is for one side, one half is on the other. And your goal is to take planets until you reach the homeworld and take that. And then your side wins. And the way we did it on Friday was when you know, I was on the, I joined the side that was attacking that night. So they have like a little layout of what everything has three phases, and you have to win in all three phases as the attacker to take the planet. And as the defenders, you're trying to defeat your enemy three times. So it's basically the first of three wins. It's just, I mean, It's three rounds, so you can spend all three of your... If you're attacking and you lose three times in the first round, well, then you don't even move through. What happened to us is we lost the first two games of the first round, won, so we moved to the second round, won the second round, got to the third round, and lost. But it was just really cool because as silly as it is, you feel like you're playing for something, like you actually have a goal now, you know, as a team. So it was kind of cool. The first we played, like, did a couple games where it was like team destruction, no return. So you basically had one life, and it came down to, you know, whichever team was standing. We did a real cool capture the flag match, real competitive. They had it set up so that everyone had two assault class mechs, which is, for those of you not totally familiar with Mech Warrior or anything, are the biggest class of mechs. Both teams had two of those available because they kind of limit your loadouts to how many of every kind of mech you can have. So we had two of those guarding the flag on each team, which made it real difficult to capture the flag. And then there was other mechs in between, and so the runners who would get in light fast mechs, which are light and fast, but they take one good hit from the defenders, they're done. So. It was a really close match. There weren't a lot of flag captures, so it stayed real competitive. And I don't know, it was a really, really good time. So I'm looking forward to. I think we're going to do another round of that because they can only do it when they have enough people show up who are interested in doing that. But it sounds like this Friday we should be doing another one. So, and I think Harris is coming. So.
Yeah, dude, I can't wait to hear about you guys together, you know, co-op.
Yeah, that'd be kind of funny.
You better have like a manly sized mech, and he better have a child sized mech, and you guys should run around and kick everyone's ass.
No, I'm tight. Just gonna put him on the other side and shoot him a lot.
Oh,
how do you like me now, Harris?
Take that, game over, super duper fan.
My sincerest apologies.
Apologies, Walter Lopez. Yeah. All right, Dylan, what are you doing?
I caved and bought Cataclysm.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I haven't played it.
You haven't played it?
I haven't, no, I mean, I haven't played an MMO in like a year and a half. So.
Did you guys see that thing on IGN about how it made more money in its first day than like the top 10 movies combined?
What? Really?
Yeah, Cataclysm did.
Cataclysm made a shit ton. I will admit it was pretty awesome playing, though.
Well, it's been a long time coming, you know? Like, I remember talking about Cataclysm last year.
Yeah, I remember there was a lot of times someone would talk about it, and I would be like, oh, yeah, when did that come out? How is it? And be like, oh, it doesn't
exactly
come out, it doesn't come out, like, for another 6 months. What?
Like, yeah, I thought it was out.
Yeah. I will admit it improved a lot of things. It totally revamped the old world quests and everything. which is pretty awesome. I haven't got a chance to do those yet. I've been too busy in the new zones, in the level 80 and 81 zones and all that. It's really fun, actually. I like what they've done with it.
Cool.
I color me impressed.
I will.
I've also been in the DC Universe beta now, and I like it. I think the combat seems a little bit sluggish. I think it might be a side effect of the beta.
Right.
Thing. We'll see. I haven't played it enough to really judge it yet. Let's see, what else have I been playing? Actually, I think that's been pretty much it, except for maybe a little bit of Sly Cooper and Uncharted.
Yeah.
Oh, Dylan.
Yes.
I brought this up to you the other day, but I was going to mention it here. It sounds like I haven't looked into it any further, but I saw something saying that it looks like Minecraft is going into beta next week.
Yeah,
I think.
You texted me about that.
Yeah, so that's exciting.
Oh, mine.
That's exciting.
I've actually been playing that. I forgot about that, but yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah,
we're restarting our map. We're restarting our map just for that. Our multiplayer one.
Nice. Oh, you guys!
Nice.
Oh, I really want to try that. Actually, since all I have is a PC here, maybe might as well get in on this shit.
And it's cheap too. So yeah, I would. It's a cheap game that'll provide you tons of time.
It's Legos. Think of that's all it is.
Yeah,
is
especially
Legos.
If you get down on that multiplayer server and you can just make your own blocks.
Oh my god, I love Legos. All right, guys. Well, do you hear that?
Hear what?
Yes, I do. I hear it for fucking once.
Mail, motherfucker.
God damn it.
I still haven't gotten the power to hear it. I
still have not heard this.
You don't have superpowers.
It's possible. All right, well.
It's possible.
All right, so Kylie Larson.
Hi, Kylie.
Well, Kylie and Robert Larson is the email. Okay. Anyways.
Is this a husband-wife duo?
I suppose, but they're a little late to the party. They're writing in. It says, subject is question for the direct-to-drive game.
That was last
week. That is wait.
I know, right? So, sorry, Kylie, but we'll gladly read your question right now. You were just too late last week. Anyway, she says, hi, I would like to know if you have any suggestions for games directly specified towards the female audience. Thanks.
Wait, say that again, if we have any what?
Games
recommendations
that are for females.
Barbie Horse Adventures.
Clearly.
Well, she said specifically catered to.
Well, you know, I mean, I think if you're going to go for, like, you know, and respect female gamers as, you know, intelligent people, I think you got to. God, that sounds terrible. That sounds really bad. Yeah, no. I mean,
Newsflash, like, Javi thinks female gamers are unintelligent.
And I'm pretty sure I heard ugly in there, too.
He Dylan. Likes little boys on adventures.
God damn it, Dylan. Dylan knows about
little boys,
dumb
little
gamer
boys
girls. Anyways, God. I was going to say, okay, yeah, most of the girls on Girl Fight on IGN love BioWare games. They love Dragon Age. They love Mass Effect. Right?
Also, I found that girls are really fucking good at Mario Kart.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Every girl I've known has been fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, even non-gamers love Mario Kart.
Yeah.
So. I hate Mario Kart.
I like Mario Kart. Jinx!
You owe me a Coke.
Gonna edit that out.
I won't. Alright, anyways. Yeah, there you go.
Glad we were helpful.
I know.
What's she into? That's the thing.
Yeah,
she doesn't give us enough information to really make a
Vanquish. Play Vanquish, that's sweet.
I recommendation for a game catered to women?
Bayonetta.
Cooking Mama.
Dead or Alive Volleyball.
Well, I just think, what's wrong with any other good game, you know?
You could decorate them. What about Create from EA? Remember Create? You can decorate just landscape.
I'm going to recommend Donkey Kong because that game is fun as shit. And it's co-op, and since we have two, I'm assuming a husband and wife combo, it's a co-op fucking game that they can play together.
Co-op fucking game?
Isn't that Scott Pilgrim?
A co-op. I would assume fucking is a co-op game anyways. I hope it's not a solo.
Alright, so pick up Yonky Dong.
Yonky Dong.
Yeah, but I heard that game was hard and girls suck at games, so...
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, she shouldn't get...
Yeah, shit. Get Kirby's Epic Yarn.
I heard that was a nice, easy, relaxing game.
Absolutely.
I hope we get hate mail.
Enjoy it, woman.
I will stick with my Donkey Kong recommendation because that game's fucking awesome. And it's co-op for since we have two people writing in.
That's right. All right, next question is from Scott. Or Scott.
Scott.
He says, will Dungeon Siege 1 and 2 and all expansions be available for download? I'm assuming that's another direct-to-drive question.
Yeah, I don't...
You know what, Scott? It probably will.
I haven't heard Dungeon Siege in so long.
Oh my god, dude. All of these are direct-to-drive questions. We got Deanna.
Does no one listen to the show? And
I know, right? All right, Deanna
Shame
R.
on you.
She says, my question this week is, with the upcoming holidays, what are you guys looking forward to the most with upcoming holiday game sales on direct-to-drive? Do you guys usually go crazy with purchases around this time, or play it fairly conservative? Personally, I hope to grab Black Ops in New Vegas. Right. Okay, let's translate this to something that's relevant to us.
What games are we looking forward to, yeah, since
for the
Walter's
holidays.
Not on the show?
That's right.
What am I looking forward to in the holidays? God damn, I'm not. I didn't ask for any video games for Christmas.
Yeah, I mean,
I asked for
everything.
All comic books and all Star Trek stuff. Like, I was like, yeah, I want the Next Generation series. Oh
like
my god, I want Wrath of Khan.
Well, this just goes back to the same conversation we've had, where we don't necessarily wait until, like, I'm not getting any games
exactly.
for Christmas. I already bought. I mean, yes, the holiday releases come out in September and October, you know, and so
yeah.
I already bought those.
All right.
I am looking forward to getting the Next Generation on Blu-ray.
Dude, Dylan, our boy, Dylan Rabid Wombat, also known as Gabe Philbin, is writing in, and he says, I can get a hold of the first Gears in a little bit, but if you're still looking for someone to play through it, then I'm down. Also, he's got the second one on hand if I want to play that. Check that out, dude. See, I ask and the nation delivers.
Yeah,
doggy.
Are we still
more like 10 shit tons?
Fuck.
Oh,
so yeah, you.
I want Sonic Colors for Christmas. If anybody wants. Hint, hint.
Hey, nation.
Okay, so Christina Bandy. And the subject says, Twitter?
We do have
yes,
a Twitter.
Yes, I do.
She says,
at Delanosaurus.
How is your day going? LOL, smiley face.
I like
you
how
know, Christina?
You, I like how you like enunciate all the LOL, smiley face.
LOL, smiley face. LOL, smiley face.
So was that her whole email?
Yeah, how's your day going?
Pretty good.
It's all right.
I mean,
not too bad, Christina.
I had to get my heater fixed. So that was,
yeah, I did a lot of work.
I had no internet all day, so I was bummed out. All right, Jordan Rodkey, dude. Jordan Rodkey,
my day
is
was pretty awesome.
Is
sorry,
the
I
man.
Yeah, he's been all over the place, man.
He is the fucking man. He's living up to the title we gave him last week of Game Over Nation giver.
You guys gave him a title and I wasn't around. I didn't listen to the podcast. Shut up.
Yeah, you're a son of a bitch. No, I'm just kidding. But he says, hey, Govanation, you want a rebuttal, Walter? You've got one. Whoa, in fact, you've got three. Well, basically, Walter was on the show last week and he was giving away a direct-to-drive code thing, right? And then Jordan wrote in and gave away a code to for like some free time on an MMO or whatever, and Walter's like, oh hell no, no one upstages me. And so Walter gave away a free code, right? And so now Jordan's back with a rebuttal all up in Walter's face.
Sweet. I hope Walter's on next week, man.
Yeah. Anyways, so he's
with all this with all things. This giving away, I haven't gotten anything.
It's the Christmas season.
I haven't kept any of these codes.
Ryan, do you want a game?
No, I'm okay.
I was gonna buy you some shitty like $2 game.
Like Sprung.
These are
you paid $2 for Hobby's birthday gift?
No, it was $5.
Okay, so this is actually very cool. Okay. So I'm gonna give away the first code right now. And then the next code at the end of the podcast, because I don't want one person to get all this, okay?
Okay. Is he getting all the codes or something?
Jordan is pretty fucking awesome. I'm tipping my hat right now. Where is he getting these codes? He's giving... He has two codes. Each one of them is worth 100 Microsoft points. Oh. What is that, like $5?
No, that is $1.25.
Oh, it's a dollar?
Yeah, 80 points is a dollar, so... Yeah.
God damn it. I was thinking it was like $10, but since it's stupid Microsoft points, it would be like half that. But it's a dollar. Yeah. Still, that's pretty cool.
I'll get some little avatar stuff.
We're giving away. He's giving away stuff.
All right, I'll give him away both of them since it's like $2. But still, no, that doesn't change anything. Jordan, you didn't have to give this away. That's pretty cool. God, these Xbox codes are fucking massive.
Okay, everybody quiet.
The first one is VRPD8MMWHHR949D BH7WHB2RBY.
Why the fuck is that so long?
I know. Okay, the second one, XFK79BDRDT77GB9 9TT7B CQC H8. So there you go. And then he says the third code is the code to my heart.
Aww. And
then he wrote Cassie. So I'm assuming that's his girlfriend. Cassie, you have quite a catch there.
A shout out to Cassie.
There you go. Yo, Cassie.
I was going to make some horrible tasteless joke about domestic abuse, but I won't.
God damn it. All right, Ghost 8182 is here again. He says, what are some of the most idiotic lines of dialogue you've ever heard in a video game?
More like 10 shit tons. I just God said it a second ago.
Yeah.
Star Fox Adventures.
You know, it's funny. He has an example here. He says, in Gears of War 2, one of the greatest stories of our generation, Carmine says, I heard there's a shitload of grubs here. Marcus Phoenix, more like 10. Oh,
that's the line. Yeah. That's the very line.
More like 10 shitload. That's in the second one?
Yeah.
I thought for the second one they got a writer on there to make everything much more serious.
Right? Not really.
Not really. Fuck.
What about you guys? You guys got anything else to add?
No,
to
Gears of War is pretty phenomenal. They take the cake.
Yeah,
man.
Star Trek, StarCraft, Star Fox Adventures. Dinosaur planet.
Gubanata, Gutar dinosaur planet. Guamblar.
Oh, wait, I liked it in the Transformers War for Cybertron when we kept having to redo this boss. And every time you get there, this one of the Decepticons is like, my readings show blah blah blah. I don't remember what he says. And then Starscream's like, I'm tired of your readings. And it was a really hard boss. And so, like, you kept having to hear that over and over again. Those every are the time worst. You died.
I hated Bumblebee's voice. Bumblebee. I thought Bumblebee sounded awful.
Dude, oh, I can't wait to get home to that game. That game's probably arrived already.
Tired of your readings.
Reading.
Shit, Dylan, you gonna play through that with me?
Yeah, I will.
Sweet.
If I can be Optimus Prime.
Okay, I want to be Bumblebee, so that works.
And I want to be Starscream.
Through War for Cybertron?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you switch off. You get different choices. You get two choices every mission, and it's different. I mean, it goes back. Like, you'll have some where it's like Optimus and another guy, and then the next
pretty
one,
sure
Optimus
is available in every mission.
Except
for
no,
the flying
I
one.
I
the
don't,
flying
no,
one has.
He's not available every mission, but he's. I guess. Because I'm trying to think if it was just two or if you had more options. I can't remember, but I don't think he was available on all of them.
I think he was available in four of the five, and the one that he wasn't was the one where you're the Jets.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, where you're Thunderbolt and Jetfire.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, the next question is from Graham Stewart, Game Over Superfan, and met us in the streets. Because he's from the streets, you heard?
Wow, that was really bad. Like,
yeah. No, you're bad.
They can't all be funny.
Who's bad, Dylan?
Can't all be winners.
I'm bad. He says, Javi, I will play Gears of War with you. I don't have it, but I will get it someday.
No,
and
no,
when
no.
I do,
don't. Huh. Don't. He still hasn't played Uncharted with us.
Oh, shit. You have
that's
it,
more. Graham? That's more important. Because he just bought it like 2 months ago or a month ago. Whatever.
Fucking Graminator.
It's okay, Graham. I haven't really played Uncharted with them either. Because so.
You're a hater.
Yeah, hate is going to
hate. You
hate
Assassin's Creed and Uncharted.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think it's more hilarious how Ryan's been demonized for hating Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, what the hell's up with that?
I don't know. Don't exactly. Take it up with me. Deal with it.
All right, we got another Graham here, but it's Paul Graham, two not Grams. Graham. All right, Paul Graham says, "Hey, Gova Crew, it's been a while, so I thought I'd write in." He has three questions here. First up, what do you guys think is the most addicting game you've ever played in recent memory? For him, it's Pokemon Gold or Peggle.
That's
Pokemon Gold's a good choice. Pokemon always, if you get into it, man, you can play that forever.
I know.
You are the Pokemon master.
Ah, man. I'm trying to think of something I couldn't put down.
Yeah, I can't really. Most addicting game. See, I've never been into, like, you know, kind of games where you have to play them over and over and over and over again, you know? I'm more into, like, self-contained experiences.
I missed out on the big,
like, arcade craze where it's, like, you play the same simple game over and over again to get a high score. Like, I was never into that.
Considering how busy my Christmas season's been with work, I haven't really been able to play a lot, so.
Well, just think about, like, your entire history. Like, what is a game that you've been addicted to?
Oh,
Like, Tactics, maybe?
Final Fantasy Tactics, probably.
Yeah.
I think I've played through that game, like, 20 times, beginning to end.
Right.
I think actually most of the Final Fantasies I've played through an absurd amount.
Yeah.
Ugh. What have I done?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's funny, like, I'm such a big gamer, but I've never been addicted to like a game where I can just play it forever.
Well, like, sometimes I'm just like, I have no games on the backlog and there's nothing I'm looking forward to. I'm like, alright, I'm gonna start a new game of Tactics.
Right.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Ryan, you got anything?
I guess Warcraft just is kind of
a
like
game
that
I've been addicted to?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Bad Company 2 I was for a while.
Yeah, you were. Minecraft.
Oh, man, I played even though it was only one playthrough, like, I did almost everything in Arkham Asylum. Like, I played that game for hours on end, for days, just...
Yeah, I could not put down Arkham Asylum. I kept playing it.
Yeah.
No, me neither, man.
It was really hard to put down.
I played it straight through, like, didn't stop. And then I platinum that fucker.
I remember because I kept coming over and you'd see you were still working on those challenge rooms. And I was like,
Yeah, I ended up just downloading a ton of podcasts and just putting them on a playlist. So I listened. I would do the same challenge room for, I'm not even over exaggerating, for at least 3 hours straight, just over and over and over and over, just failing. You know,
that Joker
trying to get
seeing,
the trophy.
Fucking Gordon hit you repeatedly with a fucking
right, or the vent. Electric, the one with the electric floors. Fuck that room, dude. Jesus Christ.
If I see Gordon kick your ass one more time.
Yeah, so I don't know, whatever. But anyways, this next question, do you guys think that we'll get a sequel to Burnout Paradise anytime soon, or will EA keep a hold on Criterion and make them focus on Need for Speed for the time being?
It depends on how Need for Speed's selling. I don't know what. Well, I don't know what the sales were for Need for Speed.
I don't know, but people love it. Like, it's supposed to. I think it's probably the best racing game that came out this year.
I think
even more than GT.
I think they'll stick with Need for Speed for now. Then
I kind of disagree because I think Criterion, they're not owned by EA, right? Like, Burnout wasn't published by EA, was it?
I'd have to go check.
I don't think it was.
Off the top of my head, I can't think of it.
Even so, like, there's no reason Burnout wouldn't get a sequel, and I think it's well overdue.
I think,
you know,
yeah, Burnout was.
And it, see, to me, Hot Pursuit felt like a one-off thing. It was like they're gonna reboot. Like, they brought Criterion in to pump in some fresh blood into the Need for Speed, which had gone stale.
Yeah,
but I don't think they're gonna stay there making one Need for Speed after Need for Speed. And I the next Need for Speed for next year, I think, has already been announced, and it's not Criterion. Mm-hmm. So.
I would love to see a new Burnout. Burnout Paradise is phenomenal, I think. That's my favorite racing game this gen.
It's great, yeah. It's really good.
It's kind of funny considering GTA 5 took how many years, and Burnout Paradise is still
GT
better. GT
5?
Yeah, GT 5. Burnout Paradise is still better.
Absolutely. And Forza is still better. And Forza 4 got announced. We forgot to talk about
that. I'm actually looking forward to that.
Yeah, no, that game was great, man. I played the demo on 360. It's really good. It was a lot of fun. Felt really tight, really good. Yeah, all right, so Paul Graham has a final question. He says, with recent development cycle of Donkey Kong Country Returns wrapping up, what classic Nintendo franchise would you guys like to see Retro Studios work on next? In addition, would you rather see them completely redevelop the franchise like they did with Metroid Prime, or would you rather them stick close to the series roots like they did with DKCR?
Personally, I think Retro could pull off a Rogue Squadron.
Yeah, you think so?
I would love to see them do it. I would like to see them try their hand at that.
It's not exactly a classic Nintendo franchise.
Yeah,
it's
not.
LucasArts.
Classic Nintendo franchises, I think most of them have been kind of revamped this gen, haven't they? Kirby, Donkey Kong.
We haven't seen Star Fox yet.
True.
Or Pikmin or a real Animal Crossing.
Is Pikmin really a classic Nintendo franchise?
Fuck yeah, no. right.
Star Fox, I would love to see a Star Fox done by Retro. I can see that. Depends on what kind. Would it be say Star Fox 64, or would it be closer to Adventures?
I like Adventures a lot, but I understand. Yeah, I understand people that want Star Fox to stay in the cockpit. I think the character could do more than that, though. I like the idea of flying to different places and getting out of your ship and doing adventures and stuff. I think that's way cool. But
so long as they can make it work right, I mean,
yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think, like, if they pace it right, like, if they make it so the the journey from planet to planet, or from where you're landing to where you're landing, if they make that like as engaging and interesting and fun and I guess story driven as it needs to be, like they could totally do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, I trust Retro, so.
The problem would be, you know, like, let's take Mass Effect as a example. Like, if you're going from one planet to another planet, if you had to engage in those Star Fox sequences every time you went from one to the other, and you're like, oh, I forgot something on the other planet. God damn it, I have to go through that shit again. You know, that's what would get annoying. But if it's like a linear experience where you're just going through the motions, you know, and it's part of the story, that would be cool.
I want to see an F-Zero this gen.
F-Zero GX was fucking awesome. That game was so good. And the problem is it didn't sell well, and it was really, really hard. So anybody that did play it hated it.
Damn you, Black Bull.
Exactly. I love that game. I fucking 100%ed that game, and it's so hard. It's one of the hardest games on the GameCube. So that's pretty awesome. Yeah, as far as Retro Studios, I really wish they got a chance to make Donkey Kong 3D, like, do that.
Yeah.
That would have been really cool.
Donkey Kong 64.
Yeah. All right. Our final question is from Ben Keller.
Ooh.
He says, why do you think video game movies always fail? Is it because most people don't take the source material seriously, or they don't care enough to replicate it well on the big screen and just go for a cash-in? What game franchise do you think could make a good movie if done well?
I think it was both of
terrible,
those things.
It's terrible writing, too.
It's both of those things, and then also, I mean, I think any of the movie franchises we've already seen could have been good if they were handled properly.
Could Mario have been good?
Oh,
No. That would have been better as like an acid trip.
I thought Mario Brothers was awesome. That game, or that movie is fucking cool.
Movie's hilarious. Monkey!
Mario. Monkey! I love when he's like, ba-bomb. Because there's a ba-bomb slowly walking towards him.
Oh, man. But then, I think in the foreseeable future, there's still going to be kind of a mediocre movies. I wouldn't say bad. Mark Wahlberg in Uncharted.
You know, I'm gonna see Fighter like in the next couple days. My dad's gonna borrow it from. I mean, oh wait, no, I can't say that because it's in theaters. I mean, we're gonna go see it in theaters. Anyways, but that's the Mark Wahlberg and the director of Uncharted. That's the movie that they made, and so that's why they're doing Uncharted together, because they're really good friends from that and from, what's it called? The desert movie with George Clooney. Fuck.
Three Kings,
yeah. Like, they've done those two movies together, and they're really good friends, so that's why they're doing Uncharted together. So, I don't know, I'm going to check out Fighter, and if it's impressive, if I like it, then I guess there's a little hope that at least Uncharted will be a good movie. I'm sure it could be a good movie, but from what we've heard, I don't think it'll be a good representation of Uncharted. Yeah.
I don't understand, like, why is it necessary to have video game movies?
See, and I heard Damon make the same point, but, you know, I've argued this with you before, Dylan,
isn't
on the show.
I know, like, isn't our choice of mediums acceptable enough? Who cares?
Sure.
Who cares if the general public doesn't accept it as much as we would? We're enjoying it, right?
Yeah, but with that thought process, do you wish The Dark Knight never existed? You know, because it's a great Batman's already a great comic book. Why would you need a movie of it?
I wouldn't say it's not necessary, but in that case, yeah, it is a doable thing. Of course, you can do pretty much anything. You can convert into a movie and make it great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not necessary.
I mean, well, so I don't think any movie is necessary. What movie is necessary? It's entertainment. So I just think that you know, video games are growing up to where, you know, it's more than just it's more than just the gameplay.
Yeah.
It's a story, or it's a universe that's being created, and seeing a film that's set in that universe is why wouldn't it be cool? Why couldn't it be cool?
Oh yeah, it could be cool. I'm just saying, I think we've gotten to the point where our the games do it adequately.
That's true. That's true.
Like, but it's I think it's unnecessary, but it could still be enjoyable.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's very what do I want to say? Like, not close-minded, but you're not kind of stepping back and seeing the potential in it when you say, like, there shouldn't be movies for video games at all. Like, I think that's not the right way to go about it, because you could say there shouldn't be books for video games at all. Like, those Halo books were pretty fucking awesome, you know, from what I hear. And I remember the Resident Evil books that I read myself, or even, like, the Shadow Moses retelling of Metal Gear Solid in book form. Like, all that stuff's great. You know, it really expands what was put on the table through the games. You know, different exploring these universes or all these ideas through different mediums is awesome. I think that's really fleshing things out and seeing what they can be. The problem is that no one's doing them well.
Yeah.
So we're just waiting for that.
That reminds me. Do you remember that awesome Legend of Zelda movie trailer?
Yes. Oh, that's the IGN's April Fool's trailer. IGN.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I remember seeing it like 4 years ago, and it was amazing.
Awful. It was so bad. Or wait, no. Oh, no, Dylan, you're thinking of that fan-made
the
one.
The fan-made one. That's the
fuck, one. Fuck, yes. That thing is amazing.
Ganondorf looked like it was like Ben Kingsley with a plastic nose like glued on his face.
Yeah, dude. Oh, we gotta find that trailer.
It was, I don't remember. And Link looked, it was just a guy wearing a horrible platinum long wig.
Yeah, dude. Oh my god, so good. Alright, well, you know, my laptop is actually running out of battery right now, so I'm very concerned. But we have reached the end of the podcast, so that's episode 79. You guys, listeners, should write in for next week. mail@govarated.com. Let's hope to God this works on iTunes. we've greatly apologized for how the site has been acting lately and all that.
It wasn't my fault.
What was the, who was that that had that? It was like Steiner? What was his name?
What was the wrestler?
Snitsky?
Snitsky! He fell on what's-his-face and she supposedly had a miscarriage. And
okay, right. What? Okay, you know, I'm going to tell the whole story real quick. Okay, so Dean Snitsky, or whatever.
That was his name.
It's a wrestler.
I can't believe we remember this. How many years ago is this? I can't believe we watched wrestling still.
Yeah. Okay, so Ryan. Okay, there's this wrestler named Dean Snitsky, and then there's a wrestler named Kane. Kane gets this diva pregnant, right? So, and it's trying to film it all legit. So Kane's in the hospital wearing his wrestling clothing, which is just pants that are red and no shirt. And he's in the hospital. And then Dean Snitsky gets in a fight in the hospital for some fucking reason and throws Kane into his pregnant girlfriend.
It wasn't his girlfriend. He, like, raped her.
Lita. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He throws Kane into her. And the storyline is that killed the baby. They had a miscarriage. And so from that point on, Dean Snitsky's opening music, you know how they have music that plays when they come down to the ring?
Right.
His music starts out with him going, "It wasn't my fault!" And then it shows the footage of him throwing Kane into the girl.
Oh, wow.
I think was that in Day of Reckoning? Because I swear that was my theme music on Day of Reckoning for like a year.
Day of Reckoning? Oh, yeah, maybe. Because that was around the time when that was going on.
That's like the best wrestling game ever made.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. All right, guys. Well, that's episode 79 of the Game Over podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Javi Rodriguez with Ryan De La Rosa.
Word.
And Dylan Rausch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll catch you guys next week. Gova.
Gova.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we gonna do now? What are we gonna do?